You're talking, you drop your voice. So I said to her, well, in future, if I drop my voice, if you just raise your hand or let me know, and I'll raise my voice again. But she's sitting still at the moment, so we're all right. This is working. But it's good to be here. It's always good to be in Twinning. And I'd just like to say thank you, Gemma, for your testimony this morning. I was quite touched by that. You know, we all of us have private lives, don't we? And none of us sometimes realize what's going on in someone else's life. Take it for granted that they're okay. And I can speak for myself with issues that I've had in the past and currently run through. Somebody said to me about being a Christian. What's it like being a Christian? Well, I've never found being a Christian easy. I have to say, I found it quite a difficult thing. And I find that it is only through prayer, and it is only through reading my scriptures that I'm able to sustain a Christian life. Other than that, I find that the pressures of the world bear in on me so often, and sometimes I have to stop and realize that perhaps I'm becoming a little bit worldly in my views and a little less Christ-like in my attitude. I'll give you an example I had to catch myself recently. I was thinking about these refugees that are coming across the channel, and in some moment, I think perhaps I heard something on the television about how they were getting fed up with so many refugees coming in. And I remember thinking to myself, yes, somebody ought to do something. And then I thought to myself, hang on, these people that are coming across the channel, they're doing it out of desperation. And I had to stop and think, you know, a little bit more and think, well, if that was me, how would I feel if I had to face the possibility of coming across the channel in a rubber dinghy, in the cold and the dark? It sort of opens your mind a little bit, doesn't it, when you stop and you realise these things. But I won't go on about that. I'd like to come back to what we're looking at this morning, which is Luke's gospel, really. And you're probably thinking, well, this is a bit of an odd gospel to be a bit of an odd scripture to be reading just after Christmas. But I found that I wasn't able to be in church over Christmas. The church that is near us has a policy of inviting families first. They want families in the church, and there are limited seating there's limited seating available, so you have to book. So I found that most of my church meetings have been on Zoom, and I struggle with that as well. I do find that that's not personal enough for me. I struggle with the fact that you're wearing masks this morning, because I do function better when I can see people's faces. When I can look, I can look into your eyes, I know, but sometimes I need to see your reactions. But that's just me again. But as I say, I didn't get to church really over Christmas, other than seeing the services on Zoom. And one of the things that crossed my mind was that there was a little phrase that came up, and, well, come and see. Come and see. And really, that's what the scripture that we're looking at today is all about. Come and see. And as I read through this chapter of Luke and the story of the shepherds, I thought to myself, well, we're actually being endured to come and see. Come and see. Because so many times, in fact, three times in this chapter, Luke says to us, he gives us a description of this child in the manger, Jesus in the manger. And he's really trying to paint the picture so that the shepherds really would understand and to was, and that they would make no mistake at all. In fact, three times Luke says, that Mary wrapped him in placed him in a manger, wrapped him in cloths, because there's no room for them at the inn. And again, you'll find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. So they hurried off, and they found the baby wrapped in cloths. Why does Luke seem? It's crossed my mind that why does Luke seem to want us to be sure about this? And I feel that Luke's saying, well, you want to come and see. You need to see this. You need to be sure about this. And so that's what drew me to this scripture out of context of Christmas, if you like. I was sorting out some old books quite recently, and we haven't got a lot of space for books these days, so I have to keep going through them and sending them off to the charity shop. And upon opening one of the books, I read these words, and it stuck in my mind. It said, until you go, you'll never know. Until you know, you'll never grow. And until you grow, you'll never glow. And I thought, well, that sounds a bit naff. That was my first thought. That sounds a bit naff. It sounds one of those phrases that seem to come from the other side of the Atlantic, doesn't it? But the words stuck in my mind. Until you go, you'll never know. Until you know, you'll never grow. Until you grow, you'll never glow. You see, right at the heart of the Christian message, not the Christmas message, the Christian message is come and see. Come and see. Come. Find out what the Bible says is true. I remember when we lived in Bream, which was a little village in the Forest of Dean. We now live in Monmouth. But I remember when we lived in Bream, I woke up one night and I could hear somebody hammering quite loudly. A flashlight of a torch flash across the curtains from the outside, and I wonder what on earth's going on. There was this heavy bang, 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 and I lay there for a while wondering what was going on, and I thought I'd have to get up and go to the window and peep through the curtains and see. And in fact, what it was, there was somebody in the field. We had a field adjacent to the cottage which we lived in. And there was somebody in the field, obviously with a torch. It was starting to get light, but not light enough. And they got a torch, and there was all this banging. And when I looked, I realized what it was. It was the lady who lived two doors down from us, as it were, who leased the field from a farmer, and who had three horses in the field. And what she was doing, she'd got up early that morning for whatever reason, breaking the ice on the water troughs so that the horses could have a drink. But you see, and if I hadn't got up, I would have lain in bed wondering, well, I wonder what all that noise is about. I wonder what's going on out there. I mean, I suppose you could say I was being a bit nosy, but I mean, it was peculiar, wasn't it? I mean, I'm sure you would have done the same. You'd have got up. And as I read my Bible, I realize that people have been pleading with God to come down into their world. The prophet Isaiah says, oh, that you would render the heavens and come down. You see, the prophet Isaiah was yearning, longing for something more. He was believing that something better would come. Even though his culture, the was corrupt, and the people were living, as he put it, in the darkness of sin. He's longing for the Lord to come into his world. He's longing for God to come into his world and make sense of all the nonsense that's going on around him. And he's longing for God to somehow dispel this darkness that's around him and eliminate the evil. In other words, he's looking for something miraculous from God. So let's look at this scripture in Luke then. There were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their sheep. We all know what a shepherd is, but in those days, shepherding was considered a rather mundane job. It was a bit of a, dare I say it, a lower class job. Shepherds were looked down upon. They were not considered part of the community, weren't. Because you see, they spent all their time in the fields. they were constantly on the move. They were constantly moving their sheep to new pastures all the time. They were a bit like nomads, a bit like gypsies or travelers, if you like, as we might call them today. But they were also considered to be unclean, shepherds were in that day. They were considered to be unclean because they spent time with animals, sometimes dead animals, because they weren't permitted to go into the temple and worship in the temple because of this. So they were outcasts in many ways. And we're told that in the middle of this mundane life, these shepherds that are sitting out on the, we get that vision of them sitting out on the hillsides there, with sitting around their campfires. And we're told that in the middle of all of this, an angel suddenly appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The Bible says they were terrified. Well, I guess we might be terrified as well. You see, whenever angels came, they often announced judgment upon people. So maybe when the shepherds saw the angel, they thought, "Oh, this is a judgment on us all," and they were terrified. Perhaps they thought the end of the world had come. But the angel says to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And we're told that the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go and see. Let's go and see." And what made me think about this was, what would have happened if the shepherds had never gone? If they'd never gone and met with Jesus, what a change in their lives that would have been, wouldn't it? You know, they received the good news that day. Good news, when we talk about evangelizing, the word evangelize means good news. And it's the good news of great joy for all the people. If you read in your scriptures that it's for you, it's for each individual as well. It's for the world, but it must also become a deeply personal thing as well. And as if to create a fanfare, the heavens are lit up with a huge choir of angels singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favour rests. They leave their sheep to go and see if it's all true. Friends, until you go, you'll never know. Until you go, you'll never know. And the shepherds came to the manger. I looked in Cruden's Concordance of the Bible just recently, and I found that the word come, heads more than 1,000 sentences in the scripture. More than 1,000 sentences in the scripture begin with the word come. God invites us to come to him. Come. Psalm 65 says, "Come and see what the Lord has done." Isaiah 55, "Come to me, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters." Matthew says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." John, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Verse 20 of our reading today tells us what happened as a result of their coming to the manger, of their going to see Jesus, if you like. All the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they were had been told. Things were just as they'd been told. They went and they found this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a cattle trough, a cattle feeding trough. What would have happened if they delayed? What would have happened if they'd stopped to discuss it? You know, I discussed Christianity for years until I came to know Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I wasn't until I was in my early 40s that I came to know the Lord as my Saviour. But I discussed it with many people over many years. But until you go, you'll never know. What would have happened if they'd stopped or delayed and discussed what they'd seen in the sky that night? You see, there's a point where you'll never know until you go. I would never have known what was making the noise in the field outside my cottage if I hadn't got out of bed and pulled the curtains aside to see. You see, the offer is there, isn't it? In the Bible, the offer's there to come, not to hold back. It's time to discover. Until you go, you'll never know. But then that little phrase that I picked up from the book doesn't end there, because the next part of the phrase says, until you know, you'll never grow. You'll never grow. You know, many people try to act like a Christian. I did for many years, try to act like a Christian. But the truth is, until you know Jesus, you cannot do the Christian life. You cannot do it on your own. As I said before, I struggle with the Christian life. But it's the Lord that lifts me and helps me and carries me through. You cannot do the Christian life on your own. And once you do know, when you know Jesus as your Savior, it shows in the way that you show the seed, you sow the seed of the gospel. As I say, it's over just over 40 years ago when I came to know the Lord. And since then, I've been preaching in churches all around the place. And I thank the Lord that he's given me that privilege to be able to declare his name in places that I never would have dreamt of. But until you know, you'll never be the same. When they come to the manger, they don't just pull up a bale of hay and sit there and say, well, this is great, isn't it? You know, this is wonderful. They make themselves comfortable. They don't make themselves comfortable, do we? We're told that they came, and they don't hang around. They came to see Jesus. They were told about Jesus. They came and they saw Jesus. And then they are now not just shepherds, they're evangelists as well. Notice that the message has nothing to do with choirs of angels or Mary or Joseph. Verse 17 says, when they had seen him, Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They spread the word. Friends, have you spread the word lately? Have you told somebody? Did you tell somebody that there was a service in this chapel today? We need to spread the word. And particularly in these times now when it's so difficult, isn't it? When we're reduced to wearing masks and Zoom meetings and things like that, it's important that we spread the word. You and I are here because these shepherds couldn't keep quiet. Spread the word. Tell everyone you meet. You see, once you know Jesus, it should show, and you will grow. I heard a story about a very scruffy-looking bloke who walked into a very respectable church after the meeting had started. And he couldn't find anywhere to sit, so he walked to the front and he sat on the floor. And the congregation was a bit uncomfortable with this. This scruffy individual sitting on the floor of the church in front of everybody there like that. One of the deacons will do it. But what happened was that the elderly deacon finally got to this young man and he slowly lowered himself painfully to the floor. He said to the young man, do you mind if I sit next to you? Do you mind if I sit next to you? You know, when we know, it will grow. It will show and we will grow. Jesus calls us, doesn't he, to reach out to people. Isn't this rather a similar story to what God did when he sent his son? He sent Jesus into the world. Jesus entered our world and wants to sit down, as it were, in a relationship with us. He doesn't want a passing relationship. He wants to sit down and he wants a personal relationship with each one of us. Which brings us to the third part of that phrase. Until you grow, you'll never glow. In verse 20, we're told that with hearts filled with gratitude, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They don't just wonder about what they saw. They worship the one that they saw. They worship the one that they saw. These shepherds go back to their jobs, but they go back with praise on their lips. They are changed men, these shepherds are now. They've got a renewed desire to give glory to God. And this is what happens when you come and you meet with Jesus. You're faced with a change in your life, a change in your life. Psalm 34 says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Again, Psalm 34, verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. You glow. Their faces are never covered in shame. They're radiant. It means that when we give glory to God and praise him with our lives, then our faces will be radiant with the grace of God. You see, Jesus is hard to ignore, isn't he? But friends, he is so easy to miss. And I think it's very sad that this last Christmas that so many people missed Jesus. I read recently about an incident that happened outside the Plaza Metro station in Washington, D.C. True story, this. A man emerged from the metro station and positioned himself against a wall by a waste paper bin. He was a white man in jeans and a t-shirt, and he wore a baseball cap. And from a In. And he placed the open case at his feet and he proceeded to stand and play the violin. It was 10 to 8 on a Friday morning. And for the next 45 minutes, this man performed 6 of the great classical violin pieces. During the time that he played, more than 1,000 people passed by. Nobody knew that this violinist was the world-famous violinist Joshua Bell. One of the world's greatest classical violinists. A man who fills concert halls all over the world. The instrument that he was playing was a Stradivarius. And it was worth more than £3,000. And over the time that he played, only 7 people stopped to listen for just a minute. 27 people put money in his violin case. And to put that into some sort of perspective, he was used to being paid £1,000 a minute for his performances, and the total that he received that morning was $23.17. And at the end of each piece that he played, there was no applause, only indifference. And people walked past this maestro without giving him a second glance, except for 2 people. One was a postal worker by the name of John, who had learned the violin as a child. And he recognized the quality of Joshua Bell's playing. And he stood from a distance. The other was a young woman named Stacy. Stacy had seen Joshua Bell in concert just 3 weeks before. And she recognized him. She had no idea what was going on. But whatever it was, she was not about to miss it. She moved closer and she positioned herself to see everything. She had a huge grin on her face and she stayed until it was all over. And she later told the reporter from the Washington Post, "It was the most astonishing thing I have ever seen. Joshua Bell was standing there playing in the rush hour and people were not even stopping or looking. Some people were tossing quarters at him. Quarters! I was thinking, what kind of city do I live in that this could happen? Friends, in another place, in another time, the night was filled with heavenly music and brilliant light. Angels sang to some common workers about a majestic one, a Savior, a long-awaited one, the Lord, who would be good news of great joy for all the world. And where would these workers find this glorious one? In a palace? In a temple, perhaps? A concert hall with a great orchestra? No. The angel gave the astonishing news. He said, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Who would expect to find a king in such a setting? One who had lived among the angels, now in a dirty barn that housed animals. The one who made the universe, now in the arms of an inexperienced teenage mother and a rough carpenter father. And went about their business. But a few shepherds let in on the secret, stopped to acknowledge him and enter into the joy of his presence. You know, when you read this, it's one of the great puzzles of Christmas, isn't it, really? Why didn't God make this angelic choir light show a global event? I believe that Jesus came as a baby in a manger for two reasons. One, I believe he wants to be accessible to all people. Like the violinist in the train station, God made himself available to the masses so that we can all enjoy the beauty of this gift. And secondly, I believe he came this way because he doesn't impose himself on people. Rather, he invites us to enter in to a relationship with him. Hence our text today, come and see. Come and see. The shepherds heard the message. They sought the Christ. And they found him. Jesus said, you will find me when you seek me. God invites us to seek him too, friends. John and Stacy in Washington, they rejoiced when they found a virtuoso in the subway. And the shepherds rejoiced when they and praised God for all the things that they too had seen. You know, they tell me that Christmas cards were invented back in Victorian times, over 150 years ago. But I think God sent the first Christmas card, you know, when he announced the birth of his son to people like you and me. And I believe God's Christmas card says, come, come, come and see. It may be close, and friends, for years I was close. But you need to make the discovery that will change your life. Jeremiah 29 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Shepherds left their sheep behind when they came to seek the Lamb of God. It may cost you something to discover Christ, you will have to leave something behind. Come. You don't need to have much. You don't need to know much. What really matters is whether you'll come or whether you'll stay the same. As somebody once said to me, because it's in the going that starts the knowing. There's a saying that Christmas is history, his story. But it must become your story as well. Jesus was born to you, for unto you this day is born a Saviour. To you. In the town of David, a Saviour, one who forgives sins, has been born to you. It's a personal thing, friends. It's personal. He is the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the Lord, the King of Kings. But until you go, you'll never know. And until you know, you'll never grow. And until you grow, you'll never glow. Amen. I'm going to sing our final hymn now, which I'm not quite sure what it is, actually. Tom, you know.
Eternal, faithful and true, who brought the nation, ransomed soul, brought the sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in prayer, your majesty, I can but bow. I lay my whole before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. I live to serve your majesty. I live to serve your Majesty.
Let's pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace evermore. Amen.
and well-being. I've had to... It's hard, but he has to make the choices, and he doesn't want to make those choices, so... That is what it is.
Where's Big Don this weekend?
Down in London.
In London?
Yeah.
What's he doing in London?
Never mind.
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you very much. No, that would be fine for me, thank you.